Welcome to GamerCast, episode 88.
And I'm Paul, and this episode is a day late because we were waiting for Valve to release the Team Fortress 2 beta, which they still haven't done.
No, we kind of moved everything around.
We moved everything around to try and do like a special Team Fortress Uber episode.
Yeah, it all worked out
and
fine.
They've ruined it.
You know, we had Team Fortress 2 beta coming out today. Then I could finish doing my DIY and painting the spare bedroom.
Yeah, that was secondary.
Yeah, and I could go get my bike from the Valeter because I had it resprayed. And everything was perfect. But no. Even my chair is upset because it's squeaking. But yeah, at the moment it is saying preload complete unreleased. So, they said today, but it looks like it might be late today in America, which is like early hours of tomorrow.
In which case, I will demand my money back.
Damn right. But it does mean that by next week, we will have...
Yeah, it means next week's episode, we'll actually be able to flip and talk about.
When is release for Orange Box? Because obviously you bought Orange... You paid fully up for Orange Box now.
Yeah.
But you'll only have the beta until final release, and then you'll have to sit there and download the whole lot.
Well, no, what they do is they let you preload it.
Ah, right.
So, for example, I downloaded the Team Fortress 2 beta version on Friday and Saturday.
Right.
So that when it gets released, I can play straight away. And that's what they'll do with all the other stuff. So, you know, you can download it for a few days before so that their servers don't get destroyed.
Yeah, they let everybody download and just slowly leak out. Must admit, WoW do that now because they got hammered so much that they pre-release a lot of stuff, and they also do this release where when they have pre-release of patches or big changes, and then they have them sat so that when you finish the game and you come out, it says there's a download, we're about to update it, would you want to let us continue? So if you were finishing and you going off to go have your dinner or something, you could leave your computer after you turn out a WoW and it would download the next version. Which I think is quite cool with these ones that are connected up.
They have to do it because otherwise, you know, you'd have to wait 2 days after release date to play it. In which case, you might also just go down the shop and buy a copy.
Yeah, I must admit, I don't like this whole... Valve got a good idea, but I would prefer it if companies just fell into Microsoft's hands and just let Microsoft deal with it with like the live system, because fair enough, it all under one roof and you can only go as far as where Microsoft say, but you have all these systems like Valve and then you've got Microsoft and
you've got Direct to Drive and all these other ones.
Yeah, and you've got to install all this stuff to be able to play it, and you know, it just gets annoying after a while. Because having to connect up, it's a bit like EA with their servers as well. Having to play Battlefield and the fact that most of the levels you can't use unless you're playing online. And like, could you buy Orange Box and actually use it if you didn't have the internet? Is it like Half-Life 2?
You would have to activate it with Steam, but then you can play it in offline mode by going to settings. And there is an offline mode somewhere.
But what about if you didn't actually have the internet? Could you go to an internet cafe and get a code to activate it?
No, your computer has to hook up to the internet.
Is it okay if you've got a laptop then? So what's actually coming out in the Orange Box then?
Well, the Orange Box is Episode 2, which I want. Team Fortress 2, which I want. But then they also force Half-Life 2, which I've already got. Episode 1, which I've already got, on you as well.
At the end of the day, they're not charging you any large amount more, though, for any of these parts, are they?
Not really, but I would like a cheaper option without those things already in it.
Yeah, I imagine one of the ways they're looking at it is that there might be some people that missed Halo.
Halo? Yeah! I can play Halo now.
missed Half-Life. Like, I played Half-Life 1, but not that much.
Half-Life 1 rocked.
so I've missed
it. It was so much better than number two.
I bought Half-Life 2.
Number two and its boring, stupid City 17. A scientific research lab is so much cooler.
But, yeah, I am liking the fact
some
that
smelly, you know, City 17.
I'm curious how they're going to do it with the Xbox 360, though.
What do you mean?
Well, aren't you getting exactly the same thing for the Xbox 360?
Yeah, the orange box.
So, was it going to be lots of different games in there? She'll have lots of discs, do you think? Or are we going to have, because obviously you can't
fit. They would. I think they could actually fit it all onto one disc. It'd all fit on 9 gigs, I reckon. Team Fortress is a gig, 2 gig tops. But then you don't need all the Half-Life stuff because it is Half-Life. It's a mod for Half-Life.
Yeah.
Half-Life 2 is, I don't know, 2 gigs again, maybe 3 gigs.
Maybe it's on one disc. I hope they've done it so it doesn't start mucking up.
Each episode, a few hundred megabytes.
Hopefully, it'll be quite interesting to see how it works for Xbox 360. I hope they don't muck it up.
And it might be 2 discs. I don't know. I'll have to add it all up. But I'll tell you what. I'll see how big my Steam folder is. 20 gig. So that's why backup failed the other day.
Because that's the thing. I've got Half-Life 2.
Okay, my Steam folder is 13 gig. So that is Steam apps. We've got Counter-Strike in there, which I don't think is in Orange Box. Half-Life 2 Deathmatch, which I don't think is in Orange Box. Yeah, Counter-Strike's 1.7 gig.
What's not
Lost, Half-Life? Lost Coast isn't in it, that's 400 meg.
Lost Coast, what's that?
That's an HDR enabled map for Half-Life 2.
Yeah. So, multiplayer Half-Life 2, Counter-Strike are not in Orange Box. Obviously, you've got the original Half-Life 2, that means you've got those bits. But obviously, if you've got Steam and you bought Orange Box, and Orange Box is your first go, obviously, you can go online and purchase and download the bits you didn't get.
Right, there's some idiot. He is an idiot on the Steam forums here. He says, Valve is not responsible for helping people understand time zones. Okay, that's true. A lot of people are dumb, especially Americans, who don't understand what a time zone is. They think the Earth is flat and that the sun rises and sets everywhere.
And they
at the
don't
same
realize
time.
That they're one of the few Western countries in the entire world that actually has different time zones.
Russia has 11 time zones.
And what about Western?
Russia is a Western country.
I suppose it is if you start from one point and go west, you eventually hit it.
It isn't even noon in Valve's offices as I typed this, so I guess Valve is PST. Or PDT, because it's daylight time. You can complain all you want, but as long as Valve releases TF2 on September 11th within Pacific Standard Time, they have done what they advertised they were going to do, which is false. You know, under UK advertising regulations, they've broken the law if it doesn't come out on this day. Well,
yeah,
because it's not like it wasn't ready. You know, it preloaded when I did it, so all the content is there, ready to be unlocked. They just needed to do it. And take people in Australia, if they've got similar laws as we have, which they do, in some cases, you know, it's questionable.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, get a move on. You ruined Gamercast for this week, and we've got nothing to talk about now because this was our Team Fortress episode.
Team Fortress. Then we watched the new video for the engineer.
Yeah, they got the engineer video, which is cool.
Quite impressed with that. I do like the little bits they do with the video where they're talking.
Right, a leprechaun comes and kills everyone with his machine gun.
I'm a leprechaun.
I'm a leprechaun with a machine gun.
Lucky Charms as well? Exploding Lucky Charms? Ninja throwing Lucky Charms?
Explosive.
Poisonous Lucky Charms. It's quite cool because he's playing like a guitar and everything's going on in the background, and then he realised that he sat there playing guitar because his machine gun missile launching
sentry guns
just blow the crap out of everybody. I must admit, it is going to be really good for the whole.
Yeah, it would be. We could be playing it right now if Valve actually, you know, get on with it.
because there's some hardcore generations that are probably massive into the whole idea of playing Halo and stuff like that that have never got
hold of Team Fortress. Noobish generations who don't understand what a game is.
They've not got hold of Team Fortress, so there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be experiencing this and be going, wow. Like myself, the closest I could get to...
played TFC?
No, not the first one, because the closest I could get to that sort of game on a PC was Jedi Knight, and I couldn't buy that many games.
You were one of the Star Wars noobs who doesn't know what a good game is.
And also, I was limited to how many games I could have on the PC, considering it wasn't mine. I never owned a PC when I was a kid. I owned a games console. My dad had the PC, and I would only buy what I knew about, which was Star Wars. So I used to play Jedi Knight online, and I used to play X-Wing Alliance online. But then I couldn't play for any length of time, so playing an online game was not a good thing for me, because we had dial-up, and my dad wouldn't let me play for any length of time, so it was a little...
Yeah, I had dial-up with TFC. TFC, you know, got me a £300 phone bill. For a quarter.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Bet that was all your pocket money gone.
What pocket money? I don't have any pocket money. I'm not spoiled. Yeah, luckily broadband. I got broadband in 2001. And I was still playing TFC in 2001, yeah.
Well, I did play a little bit of MechWarrior 3 online. Played a hell of a lot of MechWarrior 2 and all the expansion packs, and then played MechWarrior 3 online, and that was quite cool. Had some memorable moments there, especially with the fact that me and this guy made this really cool team where he had a very good defensive mech, and I spec'd mine up so it was the shittest mech on the battlefield.
Here we go, Adam boasting again. Oh, my mech's better than your mech. I've got a 14.7.9 version 5 cannon.
Oh no, this is the thing. The map we were using, I had it spec'd up so I could fire this tiny little machine gun that was basically like shooting a water gun in a tank. It wasn't that good. It's for probably for shooting missiles.
Yeah, water gun and tank wouldn't do a lot.
All the other,
especially Russian aqua tank, which go underwater.
The rest of my stuff, I could only shoot at very small bursts, which meant that I was easily to attack. And if I pressed the button that fired every gun at once, just tapped it once, my mech would blow up from overheating. So he would defend me. We'd get to this nice little outcome.
Put some heat sinks on your mech.
Oh no! This is the cool thing. It was the best way, because you overpower it. There's no way the heat sinks would actually stop the overheating. So what we used to do is he would defend me to the middle of the map, which was easy to get to, jump down this little bit of a cliff, and then I'd go submerge myself in the lake. He would hide in this little cubbyhole around the corner of this like house, and then when they would come round, he would distract them, run across from one hiding point to the other. They would come closer and closer, and then because I would be shut down, and he would shoot the lake. Miss the guy, shoot the lake in front of me so he knew where I was, and whenever water got disturbed and I saw something come down in front of me, I'd hit the power button, power the mech back up. I come popping onto radar, stand out the water, and I just hit the fire all buttons, and I just have the backspace button, which fires everything at once, and I just let them have it. And my mech was slowly trying to overheat, but the water's keeping me cool, so I never blew up. If I hit it too many times, it would eventually blow up, but compared to being stood out of the water, and if I got too overheated, I just submerged myself.
I
want
to play MechWarrior now. Me and Catherine used to play that.
Oh, it was great. And they need to make a really ultimate MechWarrior, because Mech Assault was great. I must admit, us two playing Mech Assault 2 on live was amazing, especially with those little mini suits with the grappling thing, and you hack into it, and you get in and out of every mech. Oh, it was a MechWarrior pilot's dream, that game, but they really need to get something on the PC.
They need to do a more in-depth game again.
Go back to MechWarrior, because I just love the whole thing. You're running around, and you're having to hop everywhere because someone blew your leg off and you're missing an arm. And I must admit, Mercenaries was great, because I used to go in and do a mission and I tried to hop an entire mission with one arm and a missile launcher on a shoulder with two missiles in it. Didn't get very far, but I didn't have enough money to buy for any more parts. It was sell all my guns and have all limbs and have nothing and just run in with shields, or hop and have at least some ammo. But, you know, they need to make a newer MechWarrior PC game, because the graphics today, that would be awesome. Especially deathmatches. Sim style, sitting in the cockpit, being able to move around and stuff. Even the Xbox 360 could handle that.
Well, let's actually do one of our letters quickly.
Yep.
This is from Oxlow. This is he calls it a funny little video about BioShock. So let's play that now. I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's
garden in the shade. If my Psychonauts review taught me anything, it's that nobody likes me when I'm being nice to a game, so let me quickly get the praise for Bioshock out of the way first. It's incredibly good-looking, but then what isn't these days? Brilliantly written, massively atmospheric, and resoundingly imaginative, even if thematically it has at best taken a few pointers from Fallout and at worst held it down and bloodily ripped it off. And even considering all the horrible things I'm about to say, it's probably still one of the best games of the year. Right, that's that over with. Let's talk shittiness. Bioshock is billed as a spiritual successor to System Shock 2, and I'm sure System Shock 2 will be very proud of its normal-mapped, fong-shaded bastard child because it takes after its daddy almost to the degree of George Bush. And I know what you're going to say, Yahtzee, you charismatic stallion. What kind of complaint is that? System Shock 2 was brilliant, and any game that's in any way like it should be equally good. But that's the thing, it isn't like System Shock 2, it is System Shock 2. Oh sure, it looks different, and it differs in the fine detailing, and the character names are changed and shit, but once you strip all that out, the bad guy might as well just be Showdown with a waistcoat and a copy of Atlas Shrugged. The psi powers are now plasmids, the hybrids are now spliced, and the wrench is now, well, a wrench, but it's a different kind of wrench. Everything that was cyberpunk then is steampunk now, and sometimes it gets a little bit hard to swallow. How exactly does a steam-powered gun turret differentiate between friend and foe? I wasn't aware that boiled water could form allegiances. The audio logs and ghost sequences return, because obviously we all love sitting like a lemon listening to exposition when jabbering depression-era mutants are on the prowl. It even pulls the same sidetracking shit System Shock 2 did. Every time you get a deceptively simple objective, like walk across the room, you can bet your bionic implants that a door's gonna lock or the ceiling's gonna collapse, and you'll have to journey to Mount Doom and back just to restore the status quo. Which is not to say it copies the gameplay of System Shock 2 exactly. Quite a few elements have been removed, presumably to dumb it down for the console tards. There's no inventory screen, so you can't easily check on what you're carrying, and every time you pick up filth-encrusted food or drink items off the floor, you scarf them right down where you stand like you've got some kind of wasting illness. And this FPS RPG hardly has any RPG elements. Your character can use every gun and every plasmid and can hack anything he likes from the word go. The only specialization comes from equipable tonics, but you get enough slots to pretty much beef yourself up in every area. And hacking, or should I say plumbing, has no cost, and is pretty much piss easy right to the end as long as you have two functioning limbs. Cameras are sometimes a bit hard to reach, but if you jump and hit the hack button when it comes into range, then you'll remain floating in mid-air while you work, and any enemies who happen to be around obligingly wait for you to finish up before resuming the murder. System Shock 2's difficulty fell somewhere between challenging and murderous, so perhaps a little scaling back in that area was desirable, but Bioshock reaches the target and keeps going about 10 million yards too far. You basically trip over ammo, money, and medkits everywhere you go. The life restoration chambers are back, but now there's no cost to use them, and there's one every 10 feet, so dying becomes more of a momentary annoyance. And once you realize that there's no reason to be careful, nothing really poses a threat anymore, and the game ceases to be scary or difficult in the slightest. In order to build up your character, you need to gather cybernetic Adam, a mysterious compound that can only be acquired by doing dreadful things to little girls, and this is the crux of the game's touted moral choice system. But there are only two endings, a good one and a bad one, and the extreme contrast between them is rather jarring. In the good ending, you're a virtuous flower child with love and a smile for all the shiny-coated beasts of God's kingdom, and in the bad ending, you're some kind of hybrid of Hitler and Skeletor, whose very piss is pure liquid malevolence. I'm sick of games that claim to have choice, but that only really come down to either Mother Teresa or baby-eating. All I'm saying is that a little middle ground is nice now and then. Maybe it's because my heart is a dried-up little rotten apple of cynicism, but when a game gets overhyped, it's more likely to make me suspicious than excited, so I was mentally prepared for Bioshock not living up to the claims that it would descend from heaven in a silvery chariot and lead us to the promised land. Which is not to say that it's bad, it's just shallower than was advertised. I suppose if you got the Xbox version and are used to insipid boomfests like Halo, then Bioshock will seem like the shit, but if you're a long-time PC gamer spoiled by more complex FPS RPGs, then you're in for a kick in the balls. Maybe a gentler kick in the balls than most, an extremely pretty, well-executed kick in the balls with the best of intentions, but at the end of the day you're still walking funny. I can't decide whether
you should live or die. Exactly. I heard that guy took a drink of water afterwards and breathed plenty of oxygen.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. So that's actually really funny. There's a few other videos on his website. So it's the Escapist magazine. There's like a few things on here with videos about different consoles, Tomb Raider and loads of other things.
Yeah, a bit like, not a podcast, but more of not animated, it's like little pictures done with what he's saying that look all stupid. It's a good way of doing it, but it is a guy completely ripping a hole in every game he gets his hands on. Which, at the end of the day, you've got to be persistent.
There's nothing wrong with
that. Got to be persistent. I must admit, it's a guy after Paul's heart, to be honest. But,
yeah, except I wouldn't badmouth Halo.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't. But, no, it's quite interesting to see something like that, because fair enough, we just gibber on and gibber on, and it's interesting to hear people's opinions where that was.
It's like compressing an hour of me into 5 minutes.
Where it was scripted as well.
Yeah. And he probably did like 50 takes as well because he got all muddled up. So yeah, if you want to send us a letter, you can do that by leaving some feedback on the blog at gamercast.net.
Or leave us something funny, or links are quite useful. Anything that's quite...
Yeah, whatever.
We like funny things on the internet.
Right, let's check Steam. Let's actually reload it to, you know, just in case it needs an extra jolt to get it to update.
I showed you that Simpsons World of Warcraft episode, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Remember if I did.
Come on.
Steam. No.
What if I keep clicking on it, like, really fast?
Click, 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 click.
I know, let's play Codename Gordon instead. Have you seen that?
No. What's this?
This is a funny game. This came with Half-Life 2.
Half-Life 2? I don't remember getting this.
Well, I got it. Show on your face. Loading.
Vision production.
How's a giant ant nuclear vision?
Don't tick me off, Gordon. Hey, stop that.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, it's just like Half-Life platformer.
Oh, it's cool. I like the fact that when you put the mouse up, he just kind of leans back and gives more thought. See, people would have paid good money to play this in SNES. A gun.
Hey Gordon, it's me, Barney from Black Mesa. Don't take this the wrong way, but you're looking a little flat.
Boom.
Skip dialogue, nobody cares, Mr. Barney, dude. Oh dear, it's on my face.
Not the face! Your face, everyone, and you're swearing. I don't think we can jump over stuff when you.
So, yeah, this is what I'm forced into playing because I'm waiting for Team Fortress.
The graphics are amazing. I love the way that you jump backwards. Facehuggers actually look like badly drawn crabs.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
And that's you who keeps touching himself.
So yeah, that's Codename Gordon, which I'm surprised you haven't played.
No. Thing is, though, I never really looked on the Steam thing. I literally just it installed, updated, and I double-clicked on either the icon to play Counter-Strike, or which I never really played, and
Counter-Squeak,
Half-Life. So
yeah, some dude asked me yesterday if Half-Life 2 is any good. I said yeah.
What about Episode 1?
Episode 1 was good but short. But I thought the Episode 1 story went in a much better direction than how Half-Life 2 went. It, like, you know, they didn't screw up it. Half-Life 2's story, in my opinion, was really bad. You know, the whole city set, I just didn't like the setting, this dank, smelly city. You know, at least Episode 1, you spent a bit of time in the funky tower thing, and then a bit of time in the city and stuff, but, you know, it was, I don't know, I suppose the story was more compressed.
They tried to.
Because in Half-Life 2, it was more spread out and diluted, and you're just playing for an hour with no idea, like, of what's happening story-wise.
Would you suggest that anybody who's never played Half-Life to jump straight in?
If somebody hasn't played Half-Life, you need to play Half-Life. One or two. But the trouble with playing Half-Life 1 now is it looks crap.
Because when I got mine, I got the Half-Life 1 on Half-Life 2 Source or something like that.
Ooh, I'll have that. Thank you. I want to see what Half-Life 1 is like on Source. Because I don't have it. It's right there, preload complete. But I have to buy it.
Yeah, I've got it. We might have to just install Steam again and play it.
Well, yes, Steam's had a new version released. Chapstick brought my attention to this.
I don't even know where my copy is.
Do you know what your Steam account is?
No.
Well, yeah, Steam's had a few new improvements. It's got all these new community features. So we've got a portal forums group set up if you want to join that. So I'll bring up Steam. So here we go. It's got all this community stuff in it now. So there's my control panel. You can see what games I've been playing. There's the group I'm in. We can see what games the group has been playing. You know, stuff like that. You can talk to people and, you know, send messages and stuff. So, for example, Chapstick is online at the moment. And we can send him a message.
What would be your ID? Do you have to... Is it just your email account and a password? I'm trying to remember, it's been ages since I logged into Steam.
It would have been a username and a password. Well, shall we try and log you in?
Yeah, go on.
Cancel. Yeah, so despite all these improvements, Steam is still a really annoying program which never does exactly what you expect it to do. Let's just check out.
No, it's not loaded.
Damn thing. How do I change user? Log out.
Excuse me while I roll across the carpet. Zooming that.
Gujin.
Try that.
Retrieve lost account.
Yeah, I don't know my account name. Yeah, I can remember the email.
Super Gojin! This episode really sucks because flipping Valve haven't released it.
Valve!
An email has been sent to you.
Open Hotmail. Hotmail.
Woo. Woo, indeed. Login error, that's because I tried to sign in as me.
The new iPod's coming out soon.
The new what?
Yeah, the new one. With Wi-Fi, because they're trying to go against the Zune sort of thing. So, ooh.
The iPod, people still... Nobody talks about iPod anymore. It's like it's like this thing which... You know,
if I could get away with it, I would say, don't give me a new iPod, give me a Zune. But obviously they're not out in this country, so I can only get stuff from this country. If I get a new iPod, I suppose it's something.
Well, I mean, you know, the main one's the iPod Touch, which is just an iPhone without the phone in it. Which, the sales for that are obviously a lot lower than what they were expecting.
Yeah.
Because they had to do the $200 price cut. And still, they only estimate they're shipped the number of things they estimated before they cut the price. So, yeah, Apple are in trouble.
It's the whole style thing at the end of the day.
Style? What style? Crappy looking thing, which is really crap.
Well, a fashion style that people seem to link to. Maybe I use Gojin 32. I can't remember what I used my log on. Uh-oh. And Hotmail's taking a long time to get into. Everything's hammering. There we go.
Gojin!
Yeah, I can't type. Password probably not. We're about to receive God knows how many emails. 40 emails! Shows I haven't been on the internet for a week. There we go.
Gojin 32. Now you just have to guess the password. Wee, Super Gojin.
Connecting to Steam.
So what games have you got? Do you want to set out your Steam ID?
If I set it up here, I'd still be able to use it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's set up my Steam ID.
Actually, let's not bother, because it's probably going to take ages.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Right, I'm going to leave you logged in because I'm playing Half-Life Source later on. Screw Team Fortress 2. I can wait for that. Ooh, look, a Facebook thing from me.
You've gone... Oh my god! Official GamerCast News poll has a Facebook.
No, I don't. I do not have a Facebook. So yeah, you can sort that out later.
Cool. Well, go on then, load up Source, because we've got nothing else.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's going to, like, take out the recording or not.
Oh, yeah, because this is...
Let's just do it anyway. If it screws up, this week's episode is being canned. But we're not doing it again. We're just going to play Supreme Commander.
Hoorah!
Hoorah! Yeah, we don't have a hoorah thing, do we?
Hoorah! Well, from this moment onwards, if it hasn't recorded, we'll just redo this bit. I'll just throw something on the end after we've done it. So we're going to do a mini review on the part that Paul couldn't play because of the version of Half-Life 2 he got. See, I was going to play all the way through this, but I played a bit of it and then I just went straight into Half-Life 2 because I'm owning a brand new game and I just wanted to play it.
Should have played through this first.
This is going to make me want to go back and actually...
Gross mouse, sensitivity 5. Hey, there's Barney!
Barney. Oh, Barney's dead!
Yes! Die, evil Barney! Look, we can like jump to any level in the game. Let's not jump to Zen, because Zen is annoying.
See, that's cool.
Oh man, look at these graphics!
So, initially, does it look better?
It looks the same.
Yeah?
Ooh, wait! That texture had a bit of shininess on it, that's different.
Hey, Mr. Freeman, I had a bunch of messages for you, but we had a system crash about 20 minutes ago, and I'm still trying to find my file. It's one of those days, I guess. They were having some problems down in the test chamber, too, but I think that's all straightened out. They told me to make sure you headed down there as soon as you got into your hazard suit.
Okay, Barney.
Get away from there, Freeman.
Shut
I'm expecting an important message.
Dr. Brainiac.
You'll just have to wait until after the test. Good morning, Gordon.
He looks familiar.
Hey, Freeman.
Who, him?
Yeah.
What's the same dude from out there?
Yeah. There he is again.
There's a G-Man.
Greetings.
Yeah, this was so cool. You're walking around a science lab with all these science dudes.
I do like the idea that you just got free roam and walk around and you do what you want and nothing's kicked in yet.
Okay, watch this. This was revolutionary in its day. Vending machines.
Ah, hello, Gordon Freeman. It's good to see you.
If I had my crowbar, I could smash it open in the awful hour.
Please, leave me alone until after the experiment.
So anyway, let's find my hazard suit.
Ooh,
there's my locker.
But why do we all have to wear these ridiculous ties?
Okay, this bit's cool.
Welcome to the HEV Mark IV protective system for use in hazardous environment conditions.
Disco! So I guess all the people that are on the lockers are people who build the game.
I think so, because it doesn't have a Gabe, whatever his face is, on there. So that's cool. So let's run down here. And run over here.
Well, right on through, sir. Looks like you're in the barrel today.
Yeah, Barney. So yeah, if you haven't played Half-Life 1, you need to play this.
Even if, I must admit, I got the gist of what happened. But
this is also completely revolutionary. Look, signs which move. And just think, this was all originally done in the Quake 1 engine.
So because this is Source, this is using the...
Well yeah, it's just a port into the Source engine. So we'd have to put it with like OpenGL graphics and shit like that. So it actually runs on like modern computers.
Which is a good thing to do for having a... putting across the old game with it.
So how far did you get in this?
Until everything goes schizo. But I can't remember if I did it with this or with the original.
Ah, Gordon, here you are. We just sent the sample down to the test chamber.
We've boosted the anti-mass spectrometer to 105%. Bit of gamble, but we need the extra resolution.
The administrator is very concerned that we get a conclusive analysis of today's sample. I gather they went to some lengths to get it.
They're waiting for you, Gordon.
In the test chamber.
Access denied.
So you're not allowed in there.
It's about to go critical.
What the hell is going on with our equipment?
It wasn't meant to do this in the first place.
Yes, this all looks good.
Okay, woo. Right, so I'm sure this bit of GamerCast is really boring everybody. Because all I'm doing is playing a game.
So what do you think?
Meh. It looks exactly the same as the last one. Maybe the texture's a bit higher resolution. Yeah, it looks the same. There's no obvious differences. But obviously, it's in the Source engine, so it's like widescreen and all that.
Yeah, which gives an advantage. I must admit, if you don't have it, there's no point going out and trying getting a cheap copy and having to try and fight away, especially if you're running Vista. At least it means that you'll be able to...
Well, heck, it barely worked in XP. If you go to the Team Fortress Classic, you know, the Planet websites, they've got, like, troubleshooting tips for Windows XP. So, yeah, it is quite odd.
Yeah, so obviously if you've got you haven't got XP and you're straight on a new computer with Vista and you want to get onto
heck, I remember, yeah, it was, because it came out, Windows 98 was out at the time it came out. Windows Millennium wasn't even out.
Mm. So it does mean that you can at least play it, so quite cool. Paul's liking that.
Yeah, it's good to like relive old stuff. So yeah, there's also been some Halo 3 adverts released. Well, kind of released. There's one advert on the Xbox Live Marketplace, which is like some old war veteran, you know, recounting the stories of the war. But there's also a TV spot, like the actual proper TV advert released, as well as a making of advert, which we're going to play now, which I thought was actually quite cool. You can find all these videos on YouTube. If you search for Halo 3 Believe, you'll get them come up.
Nations have always built monuments to their heroes, tributes to the defense against or conquest of other nations.
Woo.
But the monument here doesn't favor one nation over another. It is the first of its kind to commemorate the enduring survival of a species.
The panda bear!
More importantly, it commemorates the man who gave the world faith.
A giant panda!
Who made mankind believe again.
Panda
kind. Master Chief Petty Officer John 117.
Okay, I'll stop like interrupting.
So it's no surprise that the piece itself is special. Begun 3 years ago in 2607, the monument is a diorama built entirely by hand. It is a three-dimensional snapshot of the battlefield and the soldiers who took to it that day. The scene has been reproduced with painstaking attention to detail and authenticity. Only the men and women who were there know it better. Today, we go behind the scenes to see its creation. To ensure historical accuracy, the boot camp induction scans of every Marine involved in the battle were obtained from the United Nations Space Command records. In this way, the artists were able to place the right face to the right soldier. After each face is completed, it is matched to a body which has been rendered complete with uniform and body armor, then carved by hand. It was the artist's vision for this tribute to humanity that each piece be shaped by the hand of man, without the aid of robotic model-making systems. Each handmade soldier is posed, painted, and placed on the battlefield, both the victorious and the fallen. Based on topographical maps of the day, the artists are able to replicate each hill, each plateau, and each ravine to near exact specifications. But one of the real marvels is in the cityscape itself. After fighting had ceased, meta-archaeologists unearthed the city's building archives. In them were found perfectly preserved architectural blueprints of every structure in the city. But the challenge was not to merely rebuild the structures, it was to tear them down as well. Artists worked from the city plans to recreate the destruction caused by the fierce fighting, from each bullet hole to each piece of exposed rebar. Finally, our enemies were also rendered with extraordinary detail. Covenant corpses that had been recovered after the battle provided the models for these fearsome recreations. To complete the picture, authentic Covenant weapons and armor specs were accessed to fully outfit the warriors. Once the Covenant were placed opposite the Marines, A clear image begins to take shape out of the fog of history. We see how we were outnumbered, outgunned, outmatched. And seeing that, we realize the importance of the monument. On that day, half a century ago, our species was pushed to the crumbling edge of extinction. And as we teetered on that precipice, staring down into the abyss, a hand reached out, pulled us back from the brink, and gave us hope. The hand of a hero.
The hand of a panda.
I call myself Chief a panda.
I will. I mean, you know, I am annoyed that Halo 3 you don't play as the Arbiter. That does annoy me.
Really?
Yeah, it's just the Master Chief.
Oh, don't tell me people complained so
much. Yeah, everyone bitched so much about the fucking Arbiter. All the dumb Americans. Oh, it's too complicated. It's got like a story in it. Instead of just the Master Chief standing on the battlefield saying, I need a weapon, I need a weapon, I need a weapon. You could just imagine him there, like stood there, just saying the same thing over and over again. It's like this huge battle rages around him. That's how dumb he is.
Okay, I admit that people got annoyed with...
The Arbiter was where it's at.
Metal Gear Solid 2, when you got to play as the extra character, and everybody played the game hardcore because they were only waiting to the level when you got to play Snake again. But at least with this, you got to play in between. You got to play the Arbiter, then you got to play
Master
Chief.
They needed to do the Arbiter for the story.
Yeah, otherwise
you'd
sit there.
Let us experience a Covenant story.
Yeah, otherwise you would have just been cutscene after cutscene after cutscene. Let you play, then you play the Master Chief bit, and then cutscene, cutscene, cutscene for the Arbiter, and it would have all been story text pushed in too damn quick.
So yeah, this is like the advert website as well with like some stuff on. This is currently in development. But it's actually quite cool.
So you only get to play as the Arbiter as one of the extra characters for...
When you're doing cooperative, yeah.
That's nice for your website.
Remembering those who fought for our survival. The Master Chief. I need a weapon. I need a weapon. I need a weapon. You've got a weapon. I need a bigger weapon. So yeah, this just like navigates around the diorama thing they built for it.
I do like the music for it.
Oh yeah, the music's brilliant.
Navigate.
You could control it, yeah, dude. And then you can take screenshots of it as well.
Oh, now this is a good website.
So it takes a screenshot. Then you can, save it as an image. So yeah, this is the halo3.com/believe. And then it's got like lots of different videos and stuff you can pull in and, you know, whatever. Hey, that's the dude in the video! The smoke trail looks really good then. So yeah, you can also go into like a 3D, like a 360 degree view mode as well when it works. So that's cool.
Gotta find the chief.
Yeah, okay, we'll go to the end and find the chief. Loading.
Ah, so what can you? It's just a straight line going round it.
Yeah. Until you come up to a bit where it says like 360 degree view mode and stuff.
So you only use the forward and backwards buttons.
Yeah, left and right just does forward and backwards.
So supposed to be a
But it's really good for seeing like all the detail in the model, which isn't in the video. Hey look, it's a grunt. So yeah, if you click on that dude. Turn the music down a bit, you get stuff about the grunt come up. Species grunts. Then it's got like their proper name. Ungay or something. So they're Ungay, okay. And then you can download a picture of him. So that's cool.
That's nicely done, the fact that they haven't wasted
Then you've got like the 3D model come up and you can drag him around.
Because a lot of effort's gone into this model, so instead of wasting just a
bit
of footage.
Just look how good that model looks, man.
Mm.
That looks so much better than Halo 2.
I must admit, the attention to detail is amazing.
So that's another spot you can enter 3D, 360 degree mode.
I must admit, the attention to detail, especially the fact the explosions.
Yeah, the explosions
do look
really nice.
Gulf of fire with the smoke around it. It does look like you're going around a still CG shot. And it's good that they didn't use the in-game graphics and just did a still shot of everything and made a virtual camera rotate round. It does look quite amazing. Just gets you all kind of warm and fuzzy for the game.
Yeah, apparently I read on the Halo forums that the actual model is 150 feet wide.
Jeez. Well, I must admit, we saw the scale of the people in comparison. Yeah, because I must admit, it's the buildings come up to knee height, and they're not that big as buildings go. It does look like a complete and utter freeze frame, but it also feels like everything's still going along. Well, there it is. Master Chief.
I'll tell you what it does remind me of. You know the video I showed of the actual trailer where at the end the Master Chief lifts his head up?
Mm.
That reminds me of Beetlejuice. You can just imagine this little Master Chief in his little model world. There he is again, man. It's Beetlejuice.
Yeah,
if you say the Master Chief three times, you're in big trouble.
Master Chief, Master Chief, Master Chief.
So yeah, that's actually quite cool. So that's Halo.
I like the music.
Yeah, that's halo3.com/believe, and you can like navigate your way around the thing and look at stuff and whatever.
Which is pretty sweet. And the music is pretty cool, and the videos are pretty cool. The good thing about it, the main video that they're showing for the TV just uses the model and kind of shows what happened, where this, the making of everything, they've filmed themselves making it, and they do the one that where we showed you, or you heard it, where it's like a documentary about them making this in the future.
Yeah, this started in 2607,
which is a nice way of doing another bit.
Yeah, I'm sure some people think, wow, they made a mistake, like totally not getting it.
Yeah, but no, I like it. It's a nice thing because they are emphasizing that maybe this is it, you know, this might be the last Halo. So
it is the last Halo.
Going out with a bang. The end of the story.
It is the last Halo. Because at the end, the Master Chief reveals that he's actually a Covenant, and then he kills everyone. He was a Covenant, like, infiltrator.
But we do have one more Halo game to come out. We've got Halo Wars.
Yeah, have you seen the footage for that?
No, I have only seen the release trailer.
So you haven't seen the E3 footage?
No. Didn't get to see anything from E3. I've completely missed out. I've only read up on it.
It was released a couple of weeks back. I'll show you that later on because it looks really sweet. Let's actually talk about Halo Wars.
Halo Wars.
Because we haven't really talked about anything other than moaning, have we? That's Valve for not releasing the damn thing.
We were supposed to talk more about Valve. We had a little bit about Halo 3 because Halo 3 will be out next Wednesday. So.
Well, I suppose it works out quite well because episode 89, the next one, we'll talk about Team Fortress.
Mm-hmm.
And then episode 90, we'll be talking about Halo.
Yeah.
Ew.
Are we still going to do our special?
If we can be bored. Yes. We'll just play the game. So yeah, the Halo Wars video looks really nice. It looks a lot better than I was expecting to look. The amount of detail in the bases, for example, they've got Marines doing push-ups behind like the barracks and things like that. But the one thing which really stood out to me was the vehicles. They drove the Warthog out of the factory storage place, and it's like wow, that really does look like a Warthog. And the way it moves as well, so you tell it to go somewhere and it like skids round and
a bit like how the control system worked for it. Because is it going to be like Age of Empires 3 sort of gameplay, or is this more like a standard RTS that you would normally see games like Halo, like Dawn of War and Command & Conquer? And
it reminded me more of, say, Command & Conquer 3.
Right.
Like, from the look and feel of it.
Okay.
But another thing which I noticed was when he had the Warthog selected, down in the corner of the screen it said horn, and if you press the button, the Warthog does its little horn noise as well.
That's cool. I presume that it's a bit like Command & Conquer 3 where your Warthog can get men inside of it, a bit like, so I imagine a Warthog comes preloaded with
preloaded with like a lot of people on it.
Loads of people or just one Marine?
Fully kit out, three people.
Right, so the horn doesn't really get any more body on board.
No. But you can just press it because it's fun. Although, I mean, what could happen is, like, somebody, if someone dies, like, for example, the Warthog takes damage and one of your people die on it. So that's cool. It had, like, the tanks and all that. It's got, like, a few new vehicles, like anti-air vehicles and stuff like that. It had the Scarab in it.
Well, that's cool.
As well.
Are there any screenshots?
I don't think so, no. But I'll show you the video later on.
Okay.
Going back to the Team Fortress thing, somebody on the forum says, haha, you guys act like this as an official launch. It's a beta, wake up. And then he says, they'll release it when it's ready. It's a beta version, it doesn't need to be ready. And the fact it's already on my hard drive, waiting for it to be unlocked, it is ready. So don't, say, oh, blah, blah, blah.
It's just the servers.
They just need to turn it on.
Won't be surprised they're just waiting for everybody to get in. Or they may just have a hiccup with something and they're waiting
just
for the
stuff. Just get on with it. It's on my hard drive now. Unlock it. Stop messing me around.
What sort of beta version is this? Is this an online or is this bots?
I don't even know if there is bots in the game. I assume the game is just online, even like the final release.
So this will be
you might have like a mod for it, for bots or something, but I don't know.
So this will be, as soon as the beta comes out, you'll be fighting against other people online.
Yeah, and I'll be winning, because I played Half-Life 2 Deathmatch the other day. First time I ever played it, I won. But that's not true, I didn't win. Somebody joined the game who was like Uber. There were like four of us in the game, and it was some of the guys from the Portal Forums team, community group, whatever you want to call it, and yeah, I kicked ass. And they're like all people who play it all the time. So I still got it.
Still got it. Alright.
So yeah, by the time Team Fortress comes out, my engineer is going to be causing havoc.
You keep looking at Steam, but you have to remember you're signed in as me.
Yeah, I know. I like to click down.
What does it say I've got?
You've got Codename Gordon, Counter-Strike, DEFCON Demo, Half-Life 2, Half-Life 2 Deathmatch Lost Coast, Half-Life Deathmatch Source, oh my god, Old School, and Half-Life Source. Ooh, I'm tempted to play that.
So, what does it say? Does it say all those ones? So the preloaded complete.
Those are ones I've already got,
but
like you haven't bought.
Right. But that shows you what I do have. So I already probably have Codem because I never went to this. I never saw what extras I did have. So I've just been clicking on the play Half-Life 2 and not realizing what else I bloody had. Oh dear. I might have to go find it. I think it's in a box of my parents, because it's still all sat in that tin. The big biscuit tin that I got. The only thing I've actually got in the flat that's actually from the game is actually the t-shirt. Which I couldn't find, otherwise I would have worn it today, but not exactly like it made any difference. Instead, I'm wearing my Goonies t-shirt.
Old school.
Hey, you guys.
So yeah, the Halo Wars, it's on Xbox Live Marketplace. It's just like the E3 footage they showed.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I remember I can't watch any of the E3 footage from that because I didn't have a hard drive, and now I don't have a bloody Xbox. When I get my new Xbox, I will have a hard drive, so...
Funky. Right, should we actually close this episode?
Yeah.
This is the crappiest episode we've ever done.
Yeah, we're sorry.
Blame Valve for, you know, we delayed the episode a day as it was to make room for Team Fortress, and this is what happens.
We're sorry. But we will have Team Fortress next week. There's no way of letting the live people see what we're doing, is there?
Not really.
No.
Not unless you want to bring a camera up here or something, but then it's too much hassle to goof around with anyway.
Yeah, for Team Fortress beta, then yeah. But we'll be able to do massive review on it and talk about it, which would be cool. And then the week after, we'll be doing
Halo 3.
So that will be cool. I think what we'll probably have to do is I'll get my digital camera up here and we'll test it, see if it works. And if it does work, then we can. It means we can play the game and talk about it. So we can stop and start, do a bit of the show, say all our news bits, and then we can get on and play the game and show people.
Totally.
And just come back to Forge. We can show people every flavour, everything that's built into it.
Well, not everything, because I probably wouldn't have completed it by then.
Well, no, not everything, but, you know, show people a little bit at the beginning level, show people what it's like to play cooperative, a bit of online match, show all the options for online and creating your character and stuff, options, what's available, and, you know.
Yeah, it will be good.
We won't try.
Certainly
and
better
much.
Than this really shit episode, which we don't really talk about.
Exactly. But obviously because we're going
Blame to... Valve. Phone up Gabe, whatever his name is, Gabe, matey.
Because we'll be recording it on a digital camera, we'll be able to. What we're going to do is we're going to attempt to play the footage out live streamed, hopefully, fingers crossed. That
will work, but it'll be quite low quality.
So you'll be as good as we can get, but obviously, what quality is coming out is from the computer. The quality will still be pretty good on the camera, and then we'll be able to use the tape and put it back onto the camera, onto the computer properly, and then we can use my YouTube account, we can upload that onto YouTube or wherever you want.
Yeah, and then the video turns into this low quality pile of goo. Thanks a lot, YouTube, you suck.
Well, we'll upload it to one of those types of streaming
Soapbox, man, high quality.
Okay, we'll load it up to Soapbox and then put the link into built into Gamercast into that episode section, can't we?
Yeah.
Will we be able to build it so that it's got the actual video visible to play like it is with the live streaming, or are we just going to have it?
Yes, but we're not going to do that.
Because it'll screw up everything, won't it?
Well, it'll make our web page non-standards compliant, but we could embed the YouTube link into it.
Cool. So you'd be able to go and...
Even though that will also make it non-standards compliant, but whatever.
Well, we can always rip the soundtrack off. Put that as the downloadable bit.
Soundtrack.
So everybody can download the standard podcast.
Well, yeah, that will just be a normal podcast. Otherwise, all the noobs with their iPods will moan. Hey, iPod.
Well, we could always upload the video from the download, and then you can have them on their iPods and watch the actual video on their iPod. But
no, sorry, I'm not releasing it in that format. It'll be in WMV. Oh yeah, my phone made a noise.
Do do do. But yeah, we got that looking forward to, so which will be cool. And. I'd say that's it. Keep all the interesting things coming up. And
yeah, woohoo! See everyone next week.
We'll see you next week.
On an episode which doesn't suck.
With Team Fortress 2.
Hopefully. If it's been released by then.
Yes. Not been released in a week. I think they better...
I want my money back.
Yeah. We'll see you guys next week. Laters.